are so thankful you're here this morning with us. We hope everyone had a blessed and safe Thanksgiving. We're looking forward to the first Sunday in Advent and the journey to the stable in Bethlehem.
Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, this is the season of rejoicing. This is the season we celebrate the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So There can be no other season to rejoice in than the season of Advent. Today marks the first Sunday in Advent. So we want to welcome you, First United Methodist Church. I'm Jakes Booker, one of the people here called the pastor. So I am always happy to be here to share God's word, God's love with all of us, with all of us. And so thank God that you are here. Thank God that you had, and I'm saying this with faith, that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving Day. Yes, I'm sure you did. The fact that you are still alive today, that in itself helps me to know that indeed you had a good Thanksgiving Day. It's always good to be thankful. You know, when one is thankful for little things, or just a little thing, that's the sound of gratitude. And God will bless you because you've been faithful, because you've been grateful for a little thing. God is going to bless you with even bigger things.
So can I add something to thankful?
All right.
Thursday, we are getting our new sound system, our new camera. Everything is going to be installed.
All right.
So I am super, super thankful for that. We've waited a long time.
Amen.
But it's
Amen.
Coming, so.
Amen. So we're going to be having our AV system upgraded, and we're going to have I'm thankful to our phone camera. I don't want to downplay how much you've been helpful to us. But we're going to have a larger camera than you are. So we are just so excited about that. We want to thank Gene for the effort. We've been really, really working hard, barking Metro Sound, and I know they got tired with us. They said, well, we're going to just push there and get you off our back. So I'm glad they were able to do that. So let's pray that we can have this done and it's going to work for us. I also want to remind us that Teresa is a real gift to our congregation. She always remembers that we're supposed to celebrate in the midst of wherever we find ourselves. You can't allow it to get to you. You have to find something to be joyful about, to celebrate, you know? So we have not given up on celebrating some of the wonderful things that we did in the past, normal times, but we do it at a very minimal level. So this morning, Teresa has a huge pot of chili downstairs. After here, anybody is welcome to stop in the fellowship hall and share with us that chili cookout. That's the name we gave it before, potluck. So thank you, Teresa, for your efforts, and really appreciate that. As usual, we have mainland churches are known for that. We are very traditional, so we observe most of the traditional things in the way it's difficult for us to get away from it. So we celebrate Advent by every service, the first four Sundays, we light candles. We will be lighting candle this morning. We want to thank Debbie, Fred, and Carol, and all of you who did our little decoration here. We are just thankful. I know it took a lot of time, but this is what you've always done. We appreciate your help and your efforts. And then our praise team, our section leaders are here to help us with our hymns. So we will go quickly and do our first Advent candle lighting. This is going to be done by me and some of my disciples here. I'm talking about my grandkids. All right, so we will have Neka to come and join me. Neka, you want to come join me so we can light the candle, and along with the congregation, we will do the candle lighting. I'm going to just read, and you will do the candle lighting. I will let you know, okay? So today is First Sunday, and this is the candle. The name of this candle is Christ Our Hope. Christ Our Hope. And the scripture for that is Isaiah 60, verses 2 and 3. For behold, darkness shall come over, shall cover the earth, and take darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen. And all nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. We have a ritual here that says we light this candle as a symbol of Christ our hope. May the light sent from God shine in the darkness to show us the way to salvation. Amen. We will sing just the one stanza of My Hope is Built, since this is the candle of hope. We will rise, those of us that are here, you will please rise for us to sing that one stanza as we light the candle. May the light sent from God shine in the darkness to show us the way to salvation. Amen. Thank you. All right. We will remain standing for the call to worship entitled Wait. The creator and ruler of the earth shall come. Lord, who will take away the heavy burdens and deliver us from our loneliness. We wait for the word of Lord as we wait for the rains, and our God shall come upon us like gentle dew. The hills and the mountains will be singing praise to our God. Every tree in the forest will clap its hands. Our Lord will come and rule forever. Amen. We'll remain standing and sing the first four stanzas of 2:11, O come, Emmanuel.
Yeah.
for us to be in prayer. Let us pray. In the Advent seasons, when the past has fled, future unsure, and there is nothing left to do but wait, eternal and merciful God, shelter us. You sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation. Open our eyes that we might witness the appearance of the angels, and our ears that we might hear the testimonies of the prophet. Give us courage to heed their warnings and forsake our sins. For God, grant that we may ever be found watching and waiting for the coming of the begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, the Emmanuel, the Christ. Amen and amen. With us, our first reading this morning.
Our first reading comes from 1 Corinthians 1. 3 through 9 is a letter from Paul to Corinth. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give you thanks to my God, always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the days of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Consolation above all fears.
you, Jean and Trevor. Let me invite us to the reading of the gospel lesson this morning. If any of you were able to follow our Bible study this morning, you will find out that this text that I'm just reading, the last 7 verses of, started with Jesus walking out of the temple of Jerusalem, and his disciples are calling his attention to the excitement that they saw around them, the magnificence of the temple and all of the wonderful buildings that were there. Of course, the temple was the center of attraction. So this is what it's about. Jesus' response to what the disciples were trying to draw his attention to. It's Mark chapter 13, is 37 verses, but we are reading from verse 32 through the 37th. And again, that's the conclusion of that, the longest of Jesus' passion speeches. So he goes on to say, but concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. But be on your guard. Keep awake. For you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake. For you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he suddenly comes and finds you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. This is God's word for his people. Amen. This is the season of Advent, one of the most exciting seasons of our Christian tradition. The excitement about this season is nothing hidden. It's something that we are never tired of. It's like every time we talk about Advent, it's a new excitement accompanies it, you know. So people, I always look forward to Advent because it comes with hope. It comes with hope. The hope that indeed the Master, the Savior of the world is coming back. I can only imagine what happens before the birth of Jesus and the people of Israel were always been told that, you know, the Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah. And they heard this over and over and over and over until finally Jesus was in fact born. And so I can identify with their excitement. Even though this coming that I'm excited about, and probably you are, well, it's no longer going to be this baby who is lying down in the crib. Jesus is coming. He's not going to be coming again through another young lady that would give this miraculous birth. Oh no, that is done. It has become part of our faith history. So for anyone to begin to think that, Jesus is coming and he's just going to be born again in the manger and everything is just going to be just fine. Well, you got to think twice. That we are only born once. You can be born again. If you have to be born again, don't be like Nicodemus. You're not going to go back into the mother's womb. Jesus is not going to do that either. Jesus is coming as king. Lord of Lords. He's coming in his glory. For most of scriptures, if you were to look at the synoptic gospels, that's the first three gospels of the New Testament. That's the good news. And I'm going to be talking about the good news at some point in this season. But I'm just wanting to refer you to the first three gospels. They are known as the synoptic gospel. Sometimes they have things in common. And one of those things that they have in common is to talk about the end time. The end time. You have to remember that Jesus came, his first coming, as a baby. Oh, yes, in the arms of that innocent young lady. I don't know who actually helped her to take care of that. Well, this time around, he's coming as our Lord, as the one who came, the one who lived here in the flesh, the one who faced the temptation that you and I would never face the half of those temptations in our lives, the one who did the most that anyone can do to demonstrate love for his or her friends. Probably you and I would never do. Lay down your life for your friend. And it's not only that he laid down his life for his friends, but he in fact laid down his life for his enemies. This is the Jesus. And so he's walking out of the temple. He's now like 32 years, and I'm talking about, and I'm not going to go into the entire history, but I'm just going to point out some of the key things that accompanies the sign of his second coming. Jesus is talking about the time when he's going to be handed over to those who have been seeking after his life, and he will finally surrender to them and say, here is the life that you are seeking. And so he's attending his last meal. If you were to read the Gospel of Luke, has a very good picture of that, but I wanted to use Mark, because Mark has something that I want to just share this morning. But from the beginning, you know that Jesus is coming from, is walking out of the temple of Jerusalem. You know what that temple meant to the people of Israel at the time. It was the center of their life. Pride. They built it. With every effort, with every wisdom that they could put into architecture, they put that into it. And so this is what happens. You get out, walk out. For some reason, when they were going in, it seems that the disciples did not even recognize how magnificent this building was. And they are walking out, and they are calling Jesus' attention to it and saying, oh, look at this building. This is wonderful. It seemed that something strange was about that particular moment. And Jesus is replying them, is responding to them and saying, look, those wonderful stones that you see today is coming, that not even a single one of them is going to remain over another. What? And I'm sure they took a deep breath. I don't think they really expected that response. They wanted for Jesus to affirm their perception. They wanted Jesus to have said probably, oh yes, they are really beautiful. Great architecture work. But Jesus didn't say that. He said, yes, I see them, but the time is coming that not one of them, not one of the bricks is going to remain in place on top of each other. But of course, if you talk about the size of the temple and the importance that the people attach to it, if this wonderful center of attraction is never going to be in existence at some point, then, of course, think about its location, and that includes the city, Jerusalem. That was the prediction, the prophecy of the destruction that is to come 38 years after Jesus' departure from the face of this earth. That's what he was talking about, and indeed it did happen in AD 70. Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple went down. Indeed, not one of the bricks remain. So you listen to Mark. The disciples are asking him and saying, what do you mean? What do you mean is going to happen? And when? When is this going to happen? He said, well, you don't have to worry about that, but you're going to see signs. Signs will happen. Things probably that you have not seen happen in your life, you're going to see them happen. And when they begin to happen, you should know that the time is approaching. Would they be, and what would those things be? Well, I want to just let the scripture speak for itself. It says here in Mark, Jesus is sitting on the and he's on the Mount of Olives, and the apostles are there. And he's saying that, what he says here from verse 1, Jesus said to them, watch out. Don't let anyone deceive you. Many will come in my name, claiming, I am he. And he will and they will deceive many. When you hear of Romans of wars, when you hear of wars, when you experience wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end time is still to come. And he goes on to say, in addition to that, brothers will betray each other to death. Fathers, his children will rebel against parents. And he goes on to say, all men will hate those who have been called by. And the list goes on, but one of the things that I wanted to just let that is so important, they are all important signs. And they gave a very gloomy picture of the return of the Lord. He's saying that believers, the elect, that's the biblical phrase that is used to describe people who have been called by God and are doing everything possible in their life to live that life, their faith, in a more practical way. He said they will be handed over to the enemies, not of you, but of Jesus, to be persecuted. Earthquake is going to happen. Massive destruction, pandemic will come. Plagues will come. Is that the end time? He says, no, that's not the end time. Oh, so why are these happening? Well, they are signs. Signs don't point to themselves. Signs point beyond themselves. Isn't that true? So the end time won't point to itself. No. Four times he used the phrase, be on your guard, be on your guard, be on your guard, stay awake, watch. That's what we're talking about here. But it's one analogy that he used that I want to just point out here. He says, when all of these things are happening, it's going to be like what? Like, the image is birth pains. Birth pains. Now, when you hear about birth pains, what comes to your mind? Well, I know what the ladies would know much about that, not the guys. Birth pains. What is associated with that? Excruciating pains, right? Yes. I've heard men in working in the hospital as the chaplain for so many years. I've gone to OB war. I've been almost all of the war, oncology and all of those different wars. I work on them. So I've heard most of the ladies in labor making some wonderful promises. This is just going to be my last. Yeah, I've heard that. But then after about a year or two, then you see them appear again. Oh, that was not your last. This so you hear again. Yeah, okay. But when you talk about birth pain, it's a metaphor that gives hope. It's a metaphor that gives hope. So that you look at all of these bad things that are happening. Think about earthquake. Who want to live in an earthquake situation? Who want to be surrounded by walls and rumors of war? Who want to live within the atmosphere of insecurity? I'm talking about extreme insecurities. Who want to do that? But they are not saying this is how the end time is going to be. The end time is going to be like a birth pain. So that having gone through all of these, following the instruction of the one who holds the word and heavens in his hands, because he says, be on your guard. Be awake. Don't let people deceive you. Learn for yourself. Don't let anybody tell you about Jesus. You have the opportunity to approach Jesus for yourself. It's one thing for somebody to tell you who Jesus is, and it's totally another thing for you to know Jesus for yourself. Don't let anybody tell you about Jesus. Yes, you can listen. You can share. But don't get stuck with what people tell you. Experience Christ in your own life. And you will be a witness. And your testimony will be solid, just as what we read from Scripture. So Jesus is saying, after the turmoils that we are going through in this world, comes the end time. The elect, the chosen ones. You know what? Something amazing is going to happen. Something amazing is going to happen. And that something is those of you who will survive, who will remain firm in your faith, standing steadfast in what you believe, in following Christ, is going to be a day of rejoicing for you. So that there will be no more worry about coronavirus. There will be no talk about threat on our country, spending billions and billions and billions of dollars to bring about security, but it never comes. It never comes. Because those who talk about peace, they don't have peace. They are not the architects of peace. Peace comes from above. That's what the end time brings. For those of us who are believers, don't let somebody fool you and tell you, say, oh, I am the Christ, just follow me. Oh, no, they are not. Well, we see a lot of, well, nowadays, it's one of the, maybe everything that we experience in the world has its own ups and downs, good sides and the bad times. And one of the bad times that we have now with social media is there's this proliferation of false prophets all over. All over. I mean, you listen to some of them, it's like the Bible that they read is not the Bible you've read. But unfortunately, you see their churches are all crowded with people. What are you doing? Take the scripture, read it. That's what Jesus is saying. Be on your guard. Watch out. Don't let people fool you so that your time here, having gone through all the trials, the temptation, struggling to remain faithful, that time will come and... You know, I love the white throne judgment parable of Jesus, where you have the goats on the left and the sheep on the right, and he's saying to the goats on the right, on the left, saying to them, get away from me, I don't know you. And then he's saying to the one on the right, good and faithful servant. You did it for the least of these, you've done it for me. And saying to the one on the left, the fact that you did not do for the least of these, you did not do it for me. Don't be a second-hand hearer of God's word. Because that's what happens. If you allow yourself to be a second-hand hearer, hearsay Christian, that's what happens. People mislead you. So that I have confidence that those of us, according to scripture, who are prepared, this is the interim period. I always say that. This is the life here on the face of this earth is an interim period for the life to come. When we are prepared to meet the Lord. You know what? You don't have to worry about when. Because there are two opposing facts. Two opposing facts. The two of them are very clear in Mark's gospel here. Two opposing facts. But the first fact here is the fact that none of us knows the time. And so what happened? What do? We worry. We worry about, you know, the judgment day is coming. The judgment day is coming. When is Jesus coming back? Well, why do you worry about Jesus is coming? Why do you worry? Scripture tells us not to worry about that. Don't worry about when Jesus is going to come. It is not within your power. That's not what you were called to. To set the time for Jesus is coming. No, that's not. You are missing the mark. Don't worry about that. Is Jesus coming? Yes, he's coming. Did God fulfill the first promise he made? Yes. Can God be trusted? Yes. God never lies. So the first fact is, you don't have the time. You don't control it. Don't worry about it. The second fact is, do not be complacent. Because you don't know the time, don't put off anything. Don't say, well, we don't even know when he's coming. Therefore, I just live my life the way I want to. Well, you also miss the mark right there. What, in fact, you need to do is exactly what Jesus is saying here. Be on your guard. Live today as though, live now, as though the next minute is the appearance of this Christ. So that even if he came by noon when you were taking a nap, or he came by night when you were asleep, or he came when you were at work, if wherever he may find you, whatever time, which is not within your power to know, when he comes, be ready. Be ready. So that it's not our place to set the time. It's not our place to remain unprepared. It's not going to be an excuse, oh, but you didn't tell the time you were coming. Oh, well, you were told, I'm coming. Our place is to watch, because the Messiah will surely come. And I'm using the Asian name for Jesus. The Messiah, just how he was expected, when in fact this world was on the verge of being destroyed, and God sent his son into the world, then he came and rescued the world, set an agenda, fulfill those agenda. Salvation belongs to you. You are a safe person. You are members of God's family. Stand firm. Don't let anything, be a good, be a bad, distract you. Watch out. Four times he says it. Be on your guard. Be on your guard. Be on your guard. Because there are imposters around. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Nobody will deceive you if you know the truth. Because if you don't know the truth, you will not even know the lies or the false. You need to know Jesus. We need to know Jesus for ourselves. And be watchful, because he surely comes. He surely comes. Take this time to lift our hearts in prayers, and lift unto God those burdens, those joys, those concerns, because we know that it's the God with whom nothing is impossible. All things are possible with God. His love for us never diminishes. He's always there to see us through. Let's pray against the spread of this coronavirus. Interesting what's happening. They talk about a vaccine. By the time they talk about a vaccine, they say, oh, it's surging again. So let's pray. Let's pray for each other, those of our brothers and sisters who find themselves in difficult circumstances. Some of them are struggling with health issues. even though some of us are not 100%, but we still have our strength. Let's be thankful to God for that. And just give him the glory. Let's pray for those who are experiencing the dooms that we just heard about. I spell out here as one of the signs of the end time as we speak. There are those who are struggling because of their faith. They've been persecuted. It may sound like a fairy tale here, but that's not fairy tale. It's happening as we speak now in some parts of the world. Let's pray for those brothers and sisters. Let's pray for those who find themselves in war situations, something that you and I, maybe over 100 years or more, have been experienced in this country. Let's pray for those people that have lived with it for so long, for over a century. Some of them are still struggling. They have nothing they call peace in their vocabularies. Kids are born in it and they join the fight. They join the fight. Let's pray for those people. Let's pray for those who Christmas is coming, they have no idea where the first meal will come from. Let's pray for those people. We have the abundance of bodies of water. But you'd be surprised, there are other places around the world to get a cup of water is like a goal. They can't afford. Let's pray for those people. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray for the United Methodist Church in particular. In the midst of this pandemic, there hasn't been any resolution of what this church is going to be in the next 10 years to come. There is still inner wrangling, possible division. So let's pray that God, we can return to Scripture. It's simple. If we can all just understand what Scripture says, we wouldn't be fighting among ourselves. Let's pray for our congregation. Let's pray for one another. Let us pray. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Thanks for sharing, Debbie. Thank you. We'll remember those people. Again, these prayer concerns and joys that we share, I've always encouraged us, lift them up in your private prayer times. If you remember anything about any of us who have lifted prayer concerns, please, just lift them up. There's no barrier. This thing is no barrier to God answering and hearing and answering prayers. Let's pray. A gracious and eternal God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for every day. Thank you for your love for us that never ends. Thank you for being the God who does not keep records of the wrong we do. But in every instant, you see us as people who are created in your image. The people for whom your son, your beloved son, came into the world and died for. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to set our minds on how best we can serve you, away from thinking about how we can fix your plan. We pray this morning for healing. You are the healer. You are the great physician who never lose a patient. And so in the special way this morning, oh God, we use Jean, Sue, springboards, oh Lord, just to reach out to all of the hundreds and the thousands and millions of people who need your touch this morning. You speak and healing comes. You spoke and the word came into being. So there's no doubt that you are able to just speak healing unto us, especially the most needy people this time. That healing will come. We have no doubt. We pray, God, that as we prepared physically, or there are decorations going on because Christ's birthday is coming, help us to prepare spiritually too. So that if you were to come, even now, we wouldn't be taken underway. Thank you for reminding us through your words. Thank you for assuring us that even in the midst of the trials and troubles that we experience in this world, there is something that we can hope for, something better. That's the return of your Son to take us unto himself. And so help us to be prepared for that time. We pray this morning, God, for your church, Church Universal. Using the United Methodist denomination as a stepping stone, our congregations, we pray for your church. Let your church continue to be the church that you intend it to be. Help us Christians to be the reflection of the image of Jesus wherever we find ourselves and whenever the opportunity avails itself, that we can be a hope in a hopeless situation to someone, that we can speak words of consolation to those who are hurting and bring wholeness to their life. That, Lord, we can accept each other just as you accept us. We thank you. Thank you for allowing your Son to come back again. We pray that when he comes, he will meet us awake. And we can again join him and to rejoice with the rest of our family. We bless you. We honor you and we glorify you. In your Son's name, we pray and conclude with the prayer that he taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. As we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Bring our service to a close by singing the hymn number 2165, it is the cry of my heart. That's found in the small black supplementary hymnal. Again, Chile, bowl of Chile is down, part of Chile is downstairs. You are welcome to stop.
Up more and more and make me wholly devoted to you.
receive the benediction. Go in peace. And may the blessing and the peace that comes with the advent of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you, remain with you, and guide you through this day forward. In his name we pray.